Alright, so last week we discussed in context of the Ramban, of those, that school of thought, which is the majority opinion school of thought, that Tchiyas HaMesim is the segue into Olam Haba, that Olam Haba is for both the body and the soul together. So we discussed last week one aspect of the fundamental significance of that point, that the idea that the individual is not your soul, but the individual is the combination, this new entity formed by the union between the body and the soul. When a person separates at death, that is the end of the Adam. It is not the end of the body or the end of the soul. They're both there, still there. The body, it's true, decomposes eventually, but the body and the soul are both still there when a person dies. What's not there is, since they've separated, the Adam is not there anymore. And we discussed the idea that Tchiyas HaMesim is the reunion of the body and the soul, is the recreation of the Adam. And the Adam is that entity which exists between this impossible union of physical and spiritual, is the entity that has to be recreated in order to receive the Schar of Olam Haba. That's the fundamental point of consequence of the fact that would be one idea, one point of significance in Olam Haba, consisting of both the body and the soul. And that was one point we discussed last week. We left some points that I didn't get to last week, which if we have time at the end this week, maybe I'll go back to, but I want to make sure that we get through this week's points in its own right. So we'll start with what we didn't do last week for this week, and then if we have time, we'll go back to that at the end. But basically, for anyone who was here last week, these source sheets might look familiar, because this is the source sheets that we didn't do last week, because instead we talked about something else. This is the right source sheet. Yeah, that's it. So this week we're going to try and discuss, we're sticking for one more week with the Ramban, with the opinion that the body and the soul are both there for Olam Haba. And I want to just discuss one approach, one facet of the answer, the main question. This is just to put things in context, the way that this is often presented, right? We have a fundamental, basic dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban. Is Olam Haba only for your soul? Is it purely spiritual? Or is it, actually, I shouldn't say, is it only for your soul, or is it for your body and your soul? And those who say that it's for the body and the soul have many chazals, many statements in the Talmud that support that approach. It's basically the most straightforward approach in understanding Chazal, and there are some very difficult passages to understand if you understand, like the Rambam, that Olam Haba is only for your neshama. So some things that need to be explained. There's some question: Adam Arishon, if he wouldn't have died, if he wouldn't have sinned, was never going to die. So according to the Rambam, it sounds like a terrible punishment, because Olam Haba is only for your soul. If he was going to remain alive with his body forever, so then it seems like a bad thing. So exactly, in the Rambam there are some difficulties in just in working things out. However, in straightforward logic, in what we might call the simple assumptions, the opinion of the Rambam is much more straightforward. Everyone agrees that Olam Haba is a place of spiritual reward. Everyone agrees that the nature of Olam Haba is a spiritual existence, and that it's somehow this intense connection to God, and that it's something that is focused on the neshama. And the basic question which would drive a person towards the Rambam's view is, What's the point of having a body there? What goal does that serve? Why should there be a body in Olam Haba? What would be the purpose of such a thing? So the Ramban himself in Shaar Gemul brings up this issue and has somewhat concise and somewhat cryptic comments to answer the question, but we saw it briefly a couple weeks ago, but the Ramban, his basic, the way he answers it, is he says, first of all, that God is going to, the Tchias HaMesim comes before Olam Haba. Tchias HaMesim comes in the time of Yemos HaMashiach, and God, and the body is going to be necessary for the period of Yemos HaMashiach, and then God doesn't want to get rid of it. God doesn't want to just, you know, get rid of it afterwards, so the body stays around afterwards. Doesn't really give such an explanation of why it would remain around afterwards, but then he says, the second point, he says, and furthermore, that, you know, God didn't make the body the way that it is, just arbitrarily. God didn't just, you know, throw together something, and this is what he ended up with. I don't know if I mentioned this when we went through the Ramban, but from, you know, a purely engineering perspective, the human body is a little bit of a failure. Just from a purely engineering perspective, there's much more efficient ways and effective ways that the body could have been designed, and just in terms of, you know, any engineer will tell you, standing upright is on 2 feet, the amount that you will, what you have to do to balance such a structure, to manage stress in such a structure is, you know, much less efficient.
Wheels
would have been good, right? So we could have gotten some wheels, your rocket pack or something like that, right? But in any case, that, so the Ramban says that the body was designed to be exactly the way it is, for God had a reason in which he designed the body. The Maharal describes the same idea, basically ties in to the Gemara. It says, you know, 365 atzamos and 248 gidin in a person, and the other way around, and that there's 365 negative commandments and 248 positive commandments, and that the body is, you know, corresponds, every part of the body is somehow corresponding modeled after a spiritual model, and therefore the body itself has some kind of spiritual significance, and therefore that the Ramban doesn't really explain the mechanism through which it works, but that the body therefore has some kind of intrinsic significance which justifies its continued existence. I just want to go through, we're going to have a little race through a few short sections of the Ramchal in Das Tunos, or the Ramchal describes the relationship between the body and the soul, starting with how the body is now and what the body and what the relationship will become, and the Ramchal describes exactly what the role the body will serve in Olam Haba is, and how, what the nature of the existence of the body will be, and the role that it serves in that stage of existence. So it's a significant point for, in terms of just putting all the pieces together in the view of the Ramban, what exactly is the job of the body in Olam Haba. So we're going to go through a few sections, depending on how we're doing on time. We'll see how much of it we read inside and how much we just overview. But starting in, this is all photocopied from Rav Chaim Friedlander's edition of Das Tunos. So we are on in Simen Ayin Beis on page Nun Zayin. This week, because there were a lot of pages here, I didn't have the patience to cut things out and do any cutting and pasting, so there were a lot of different pages. So this week, the source sheets are double-sided. So I didn't want to waste too much paper. So the Ramchal writes that basically he's in the middle of describing that if we wanted to really understand the purpose, the goal of the existence of man, we have to first understand what the destination is, and then if we understand where man is supposed to get, then we can understand how he's supposed to get there, and we can then understand what the role of man in this world is. But so the Ramchal is describing what the avoda of Adam is. He says, "V'hine b'yadeinu at the inyan avodas Adam v'inyan kibos chayo him shtei hazmanim akolim kol mitzuso." The two stages of existence of the of man's avoda in the world, the time of his serving Hashem and the time of his receiving schar, those two points, those those encapsulate the entirety, those two stages of existence are the entirety of his existence. Ki ata ba'olam hazeh, starting the afterwards, underlined, ki ata ba'olam hazeh, hineh haguf gas v'chashuch ba'ah chasronos. The body is thick, it's coarse, and it's dark, and it's full of deficiencies, of lackings. V'yesh l'neshama l'hagdir alav ha'ara v'hakadusha l'zakiko l'zahiro. And the body really, I'm sorry, the soul really should overcome the lowly nature of the body and to enlighten it and to purify it and to basically elevate the body. The role of the neshama or the job of the neshama, the relationship between the body and the soul, should be one in which the soul comes into the body and cleanses the body and purifies the body. And when this purification, when this refinement would be complete, Huzman Kabal Saskar, that would be the point at which the soul has refined the body, that's the point at which the period of receiving skar, the period of Olam Haba, would begin. Ki yachdav yu l'kabal skar tov kol hayamim. And they would be together to receive the reward for all of time. The Omnam, however, Mashatzar Mahabin Ata who shiur kochash al neshama. First, we have to understand the measure of the power of the neshama. Shanita malamo betoha gufazet. What it was given in order to be able to stay in the body until that point where the body is refined and purified. Vizet. Ki imhaya kocha rab of ora gadol meod. If the neshama would be incredibly powerful, and we'll see soon when if it was at its own full strength. Vadai, and the neshama came into the body with its full light and capacity. Vadai is no senes ha'ar gadola kol kach laguf shahaya mis'al v'mitiyuso, that it would have given such an influx of spirituality, of the terms that I'm calling is of light, into the body, that it would have immediately elevated the nature of the existence of the body. The chesronos of ayu nishlamim rega achad, and it all of the deficiencies, all of the shortcomings of the body would have been perfected, would have been completed immediately on the spot. And the Ramchal, we're going to skip the next little section here, but the Ramchal writes that basically, and the body, the Yetzer Hara, which is there in order to give man Bechira, in order to be, you know, two sides that he could choose from to present the other side, there would have been no room for the Yetzer Hara to take any foothold. The soul would have been so overpowering in its perfection that it would have been no room for such a thing as a Yetzer Hara. and of course God wanted that should not happen, because God wants that there should be bechira, that there should be free will. Aval inyan hu shanashama b'mitziyusa, down at the bottom line, underline here, that the idea is like this, that the soul, in the nature of its existence, its essence, v'sharsha gedolahi ma'od ma'od, the basic nature of the neshama is, it's an incredibly lofty and incredibly great level of existence. Aval kedesha tavo b'guf hazeh, in order for the soul to be able to come into the body, hine HaKadosh Baruch Hu memait orev kocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reduces its light and its power. Umashir la rak osa ashir harai laguf b'olam hazeh, and leaves it with just exactly what is necessary or what is appropriate for it to be in this world. Vihinehi b'oso shah kiyareach. And the soul is at that point like the moon. Shenei marla, like God said to the moon, the Medrash says, l'chim miyati es at umiyati es atzmeich, that you should go and reduce yourself, go and constrict yourself. Ula'asad lavo, in the future it says, v'haya or halavana korachama, and in the future, at the end of days, that the light of the moon is going to be like is going to return to being like the light of the sun. We have this parallel in a lot of ways of a number of levels of relationship, but that the soul is parallel to the moon the waxes and wanes, and the soul is the moon is reflecting the light of the sun, the soul is reflecting the light of the Shekhinah, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of ways that we have that the moon, that the there's a parallel between the moon and the neshama, and says the Ramchal that just like the moon in its basic nature at the beginning of creation was this much greater, much brighter entity, and then God said to the moon, go and minimize yourself, go and reduce your light. So the neshama is the same thing, that in order to for the soul to exist in this world, in this within the body, so God said to the soul, so you have to go and reduce yourself. And then in the future, just like the light of the just like in the light of the moon is going to be returned to the light of the sun, to be like the light of the sun, so too the soul in the end is going to return to its original light. And that ends up being that now the nature of the soul is such that it is able to bring itself back up through its own actions to its original strength. V'hine l'fi miut ha-koach asher nitan la ba'olam hazeh. According to this, being with this minimal amount of koach, of aura, that the neshama has in this world, he omedes sogeas umisugeas b'tocha guf achra zeh kol yameit tzeva'ah, and remains locked in and trapped into the body, into the dirtiness of the body, and the entire period of its job, of its assignment in this world. To be tried and tested with the trials of the Yetzirah. It was for that purpose that the soul was put into the body, in order to go through this battery of tests that the soul is now going to be at such a level where it can't. It's being held back such that it can't overcome the loneliness of the body. It's something that it's forced to compete with, and now the soul exists in such a way that it is balancing, is fighting against the forces that are pulling the body down. Vehine bizman hagmul, at the time of the reward, az motzas kol ha-neshamos pu'ulasam itam. At that time, the soul will find the entire faculty of its capabilities will be returned to it. U'mis'alos b'ma'alasam, and they will all elevate al pi ma'aseim, according to what they have done, according to the accomplishments that they had in their time while they were of their own accomplishments doing what they were doing in the world, that according to that the soul will be elevated. And at that higher level, Yashuv Yizakku as Kuvoseyam Bizman Atriya, they will come back and they will purify the body that they were in at the time of Triya Samasim. Vis Angu al Rov Shalom Netzach Netzachim. And then they will enjoy the scar of Olam Haba forever, for eternity. So the soul basically has a time period in this world, and that during that time period, the soul has the ability to, so to speak, accrue the period of making accomplishments, and the soul will, at the end, after the soul is in, departed from the body, it's the ability to, so to speak, capitalize from everything that it gained, from everything that it grew in its aura while it was in this world, and it comes back to the body unrestricted and unrestrained, and is able to bring up the body according to the actual strength of the neshama. If there's one point I want to add in, if I didn't, we're still on that same page. I'm just flipping to make sure if, so there is one point that I just want to add in, and this is important within the Ramban. We mentioned in the Rambam that in the Rambam's view, this is another one of the strange things that needs to be understood in the Rambam, that you basically have person dies, and they go to Olam Haba. So the Rambam writes explicitly in Hilchos Tshuva that Olam Haba is not a world which will be created in the future. It exists now. It's only called Olam Haba because first you're here and then you go there. But you die, you go to Olam Haba. Tzias HaMesim, you come back from Olam Haba. And the Rambam says you die again after Tzias HaMesim, go back to Olam Haba. And exactly what the point is of that middle stage of Tzias HaMesim, have to understand. But in the Ramban's world, in the Ramban's view, there are two different things. There's when you die, you do not go to Olam Haba. You go to Gan Eden. It's a certain aspect of Gan Eden, but what we refer to, the person has gone to, they've moved on to Olam Haba. We're using the term very loosely. When a person dies, they do not go to Olam Haba. They go to a place which is referred to by the Ramban and the Ramchal refers to it this way as the Olam HaNeshamos. It's the world of where the soul is on its own, and the soul there, it's kind of like a holding zone in which the soul is able to rejuvenate itself according to everything that it accomplished while it was in the body. The soul is then able to grow and strengthen itself. It's sort of like everything while the soul was in the body, it was artificially restricted. The soul by its nature was much loftier than the way that it was in the body. It was restricted and put in the body. And every time, this is all things that the Ramchal explains between the paragraphs here, every time the neshama does a mitzvah, really, that mitzvah should immediately make the neshama greater. And then every time, as soon as the neshama's done a few mitzvahs, really the neshama at that point should be able to overcome the body. But then, again, you would get the same thing, that the nisayon wouldn't last very long. If the neshama was able to capitalize, to grow, to benefit from all of the spiritual gains that it had in the world, it would also immediately come to a point where the challenge would go away, would overcome the body. And therefore, as long as the soul remains in the body, it continues to be restricted from growing from the existence that it's in. But as soon as the soul leaves the body, goes to the Olam and Neshamos, that's the world, that's the realm in which the Neshama is able to grow, to benefit from all of the mitzvot, all of the accomplishments that it did in this world. The soul activates all of that now, you know, almost like stored up all of this spiritual energy that when the soul comes to the Olam and Neshamos, the soul is able to grow there. And now when the soul comes back to the body after that existence, after having been in the Olam Neshamos, comes back this rejuvenated, strengthened soul, much more similar to its original nature before it was restricted. And it's that energy that the soul accomplished while in this world, it's that very same spiritual energy is what it brings with it to be able to come back and purify the body. And that is basically the nature of the stages of existence of the soul is in this world, then it is in the Olam HaNeshamos, and then it comes back to this world, back into the body, a completely different level of the soul's own strength, own existence when it comes back. The bottom line here, V'amna mitnesha kvar tash kocha v'chalash ora harav v'miutazeh, since the soul has been restricted when it comes into the body, nishar agov achor, the body remains unaffected by the entire time that the soul was in the body. The body remains just the same lowly physical entity that it was, kasher rayom hazeh, like our body is today. The achol pisha shehi besocha, even though the neshama is inside it. Ach lefit tzidkas maaseh nidonas la'asid lavo, according to the righteousness of its actions, it will be judged in the future. His alos be'iloi ma'aloseha, asher beboa shenis beguf be'or chavadahu, when the soul comes into the body the second time with this new vigor, the soul will do to the body or in the body that which it is incapable of doing now. It will refine the body to be completely refined, to be an entity which is honorable, which is lofty, and which is itself embrightened, as we've explained. And now we understand that there is a benefit, a great purpose for the sake of the soul itself and the elevation of the body, and the soul's bringing the body up to be a more refined spiritual entity, there's a benefit to the soul itself. His alos he may eloi, for the soul itself to go from one level to another, ulahosiv kach al kach v'yakar al yakar, and to add to itself, going greater and greater levels of loftiness. Now, before you turn the page, there's a very important footnote here from Rav Chaim Friedlander. We're not going to read the whole thing inside, but just to summarize what he says, there's a very important point in what the Ramchal just said. And he writes like this, that the purpose of existence, God created the world because he wants to bestow good to existence. That's why God created the world, the Ramchal explains in the beginning of Derech Hashem. God created the world, he wanted to have a, so to speak, an other, an entity other than himself, which he could then be benevolent towards, which he could bestow good to. And the ultimate good is God himself, and therefore the ultimate bestowal of good is for God to, so to speak, give himself, which means for God to allow us to connect to him. And the Ramchal goes on there in Derech Hashem to explain that the ultimate way in which you connect to God is by becoming similar to God. The Ramchal explains two ways in which we become similar to him. One of them, he writes, is that God is not perfect because someone else gave him perfection. God did not receive perfection from someone else. Being the Baal, being the owner of your own perfection, is one way in which we can become similar to God. And that's why we have Bechira, that's why we have free will, because that gives us the ability to create our own perfection. But the other one that he says is that God is the ultimate benefactor. God is the ultimate source of good, who is meitiv l'acherim, who gives to others. And the other way in which we become similar to God is by giving to others, by endowing perfection to something else. God endows perfection to existence, to creation. To become more similar to God, you become more similar to God by being mashlim, by perfecting, by completing something else. When the soul comes into the body at Tlias Amesim, and the soul perfects the body, what the soul has done is the soul has, through that, through whatever put arbitrary numbers to it, the soul, through its accomplishments in the world, is holding by 50 perfection points, right? Sounds like a funny, right? But and is able, therefore, according to that, to give that much completion, that much refinement to the body, and bring the body up to that degree. What has happened to the soul by doing that? The soul just became a giver. The soul just became a source of perfection to the body. That itself brings the soul up. The soul is now itself on a higher level, because the soul has now become that much greater by being an entity which has given perfection to something else. The soul itself is now no longer at 50. It's now at 55, right? And now, because the soul itself has gone higher, it has more to give. And therefore, the soul brings the body up that much more. And there's a feedback cycle now. This is something that goes on infinitely, that the soul is now on an upward, eternal, upward spiral, because every time the soul gives to the body, the soul itself is now on a higher level and now has more to give. So the soul continues by perfecting the body higher and higher and higher. The soul itself each time is becoming on a higher level and capable of more perfection, which it then does, which it then gives over, which then by lifts the soul up again, and now it's capable of more and more and more and more, until it becomes an infinite cycle of the soul constantly in computer programming. You refer to this as a feedback cycle, that where the algorithm which it starts eventually kicks itself back to the original program, and it's it was too long ago that I learned programming, but basically where the cycle itself feeds back into itself and continues, there's a positive feedback loop. It's in C, it's the plus plus function, which is called the
feedback loop is an electrical engineering.
electrical engineering, so in computer programming, the same thing. It's the incremental increase, right? That basically each time it adds one to itself, that the end of the cycle ends up adding one to itself, and then repeating the cycle at that new higher level. But basically, that's the relationship that is formed between the body and the soul, is critical for both the body and the soul. The body is there, not just as, you know, a domain, not just as, you know, some lump of physicality, which is, you know, just a nachschlepper, just being, but the body itself serves as a medium through which the soul itself, and by that, both the body and the soul together, continue to go up and up, and there's an infinite increase in that relationship. Yeah.
Is this the Ramakrishna interpretation of the Ramban, or is this his own idea? What he's been saying so far.
So this really is the whole Sefer of Das Tfunos is the Ramchal's interpretation of the Arizal from a number of different places. Often the Ramban was was one of the early Mekubalim, and the Ramchal was from the school of the Mekubalim. Often they go together, but the Ramchal in maybe I don't know in Das Tfunos if there's anywhere where he directly quotes the Ramban, but he certainly does not directly source himself to the Ramban. It happens to be that a lot of the terms they use, the terminology they use, is sometimes similar, but the basic premises which they're working off of definitely are the same premises. So things like the idea that the body and the soul are both going to be together in Olam Haba, so that's something that is directly from the Ramban. I mean, it comes from other sources as well, but the Ramban is explicit in that point, and the Ramchal is working within that framework. But you know, yet the Ramchal is not directly coming to explain the Ramban, but they're both coming with the same set of assumptions, and so it generally just works together to be complete one with the other.
According to Ramchal, is there a difference between Chias and Nesim and Olam Haba, or are they essentially the same thing? Because once the soul goes back to the body, and raises it up to this higher level, that is Olam Haba.
Right, yeah, so according to the Ramchal, basically, Chias and Nesim is the starting point of Olam Haba. That Olam Haba begins at the point of Tchias HaMesim, which is basically what the Ramban writes explicitly in Shaar HaGemul, is that Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba are synonymous terms. He proves it from a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, and that there's exactly what the order of events will be in terms of Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim, but that Olam Haba begins at the point of Tchias HaMesim. And that's the Ramchal also would say, that the period of Tchias HaMesim is Olam Haba, and the beginning of Tchias HaMesim is the beginning of Olam Haba. All right, so skipping a little bit, we're moving to Simon Peches. So the Ramchal is now describing, up until now he was describing somewhat the segue, what the body and the soul were like in this world, and how that changes, how it goes from this stage of existence into the existence of Tchias HaMesim. Now the Ramchal is describing the stage of existence of Tchias HaMesim itself. He's describing the stage of Shleimus, of the point of perfection. And we'll see very briefly this, and then we're going to move on to something else. But the Ramchal says in the paragraph with the line there, the nimtza shemata b'shleimus asher la'adam hu shenivchan rishona. Vehu derech uzman shetiyah haneshama hi levada shoreres umosheles legamre. The situation of perfection is that which Adam HaRishon really existed with at first, which we'll get back to that in a minute, which is the time period at which the neshama alone is the ruling force in the person. The Rosh Yashum Shlita Laguf Klal, without the body having any dominion at all, Uki'il Eino, the body is as if, for all intents and purposes, it doesn't exist. Kikulo Yiyya Meshubad V'Kafuf Lagamre, it will be entirely and wholly subjugated and subservient Tachas Memshelas and Neshama V'Tarasa, under the rulership of the Neshama in its purity. Ad She'ena Afila Ola B'Shem, until it doesn't even qualify with to be called a goof, to be called to give it a name. Yan Raka Metzias Yeshal. However, it does still exist. It's still there. Ach Lo Shlita, but it does not have any. Doesn't have any say in anything. It doesn't have any autonomy. V'zeh pashut ki shlitas haguf eino ela chashka v'ofel neshama. That this is an obvious point, that the rulership, the dominion of the body, is nothing other than darkness and a fog for the neshama. Ki harei ein inyan hagufanios ela hester ha'ara. That the entire nature of the existence of physicality is coarse and thick. The entire basic essential nature of physicality is it's something which hides the light of the neshama, which hides the aura, which hides spirituality. Right, the physical substances, as the coarser you get, the more they block the light. It was a little note. In Hebrew, the difference between an aleph and an ayin, an aleph is a silent letter. An aleph only, it makes a noise with the vowel that it has. An ayin, we don't really pronounce the ayin exactly the way that it should be pronounced, or exactly the way that it was pronounced. But the ayin really is a letter that comes from the back of your throat. It doesn't really have any distinct sound to itself, other than it's just a sound. An ayin is kind of like a bull kind of thing. You could hear Taimanim and a lot of Sephardim still pronounce it. I was once, it was a few times in Torah Vadas when Harav Belsky Zatzal was laning. And when he laned, he actually pronounced the ayin. He was very mocked about that. But in any case, the ayin is a letter that has a pronunciation to it. The difference between an aleph and an ayin is that an aleph has no sound and the ayin has a sound. And the difference in a Hebrew word, if you have a Hebrew word where an aleph is replaced with an ayin, it represents where something is going from being ephemeral, from being more fine, to being more physical, for being more manifest, for being more there. And therefore, that's why Adam HaRishon, at the beginning, he had katnos or with an aleph. He had a skin of light. And that's the Chazal tells us that you could see the light of his neshama shining through. His skin was itself an entity. We'll get more into this hopefully in a minute. That his skin itself was something which reflected or channeled the light inside. And then after he sinned, he was given, Hashem made him katnos or with an ayin. Because there, at that point, he was given skin, which was with an ayin. It itself had a substance to it, and therefore it blocked the light of the neshama from shining through. And that's why in English it's called a hide, right? Or it's hiding that which is inside you. I don't know if that's actually true, but it's neat, right? The whole transition from Adam Rishon before to after was this transition from the fineness, the ephemeral aura of light to the aura of skin, which is hiding. This nature of physicality is that it's something which is more substantive in a kind of coarse material way, and therefore it blocks that which is much finer from shining through. And therefore any dominion of the body is by its very nature counter to the purpose that the soul has. Umashu mimenu, some slight essence, some slight remnant of the of that physicality, ma'aki, is something which is holding up the neshama. Ki e after l'shlita filo ketana l'gup, it's impossible to have even some small iota of control of the body, shalo yachza kenegde eza oracle of the neshama, which is not going to block some small iota of the light of the neshama. Al kain hazman shatiya neshama b'kol gvura. So at the point where the neshama is in its full strength, shalo yachza kol ba, when it's lacking nothing, mimasha roi lo l'shleimusa, of what it is meant to have in its completion, hu hazman babai shein guf l'guf shum shlita. That is the point at which the body has no dominion. Al kain ain le neshama shum monea, and therefore the body has... I'm sorry, there, and therefore, because the soul, the body has no control, the soul has no obstacles. Ach lo tamash lo yeh lo metzias, but we will not say that the body does not exist. Ki kvar amarnu shegmul tzach sheyeh l'shneim, because the reward has to go to both of them. Aval shlita lo yeh lo, but the dominion, control, the body will not have. V'yakulu karach achar neshama, and it will be entirely following, wrapped around to be under the control and the direction of the neshama.
Is this helpful in understanding Moshe Rabbeinu being on a mountain for 40 days with no food or water?
So that is one, yes, that is one of the things that, I don't want to concede here, but one of the things that they discuss is yes, that the nature of existence, but we mentioned this in the Ramban, brings that point in Shaar Gemul, that the nature, the Rambam understands that physicality is by its definition is irredeemable, and therefore the final reward has to be without the body, because the body is by its very nature is essentially irrevocably a blockade to spirituality, to relationship with God. As opposed to the Ramban brings, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu surviving on the mountain for 40 days without water, without food and drink, the light shining from Moshe Rabbeinu's face, that physicality is something that by its default is a block between us and the light of spirituality, but that can be elevated to something which is the body. It loses its control, it loses its faculties, it loses its needs, it loses its physicality, and becomes something that spirituality can be channeled through that body. Maybe we'll skip this page here. The next page is where the Ramchal describes basically five levels of the relationship between the body and the soul. The first of which is this relationship where the soul is completely in control and the body is basically not there, and that is the level that he says is the level of Tchiyas HaMeisim. We're going to skip that. The last thing that we want to see here in this last page here is, and this ties very much back into the Ramban, is that the first Ramchal is describing Adam HaRishon, that Adam HaRishon, he lived in Gan Eden. And Gan Eden is not just a nice place. Gan Eden is the place which serves as two things. Serves as the where Adam HaRishon lived. Also serves as the place where the soul goes after death. The soul is in Gan Eden. Gan Eden is obviously a very lofty spiritual place. And that's the place where Adam HaRishon himself live. And Gan Eden is a place, and he writes there how that it must be that, you know, the fruit that was in Gan Eden was not just regular, you know, the grapes in Gan Eden were not just grapes. They were that they were not this worldly. They were something which was on a much loftier, finer level. They were physical. Of course, they you know, it was still a physical world, but they were on a much loftier, more refined level. And the way he describes it is ke'erach avir l'gabei ofer, at least the difference between air and dirt is the degree of difference between what the physical existence of Gan Eden was like compared to our physical existence. And on the bottom page, the bottom paragraph of this last page, and we'll stop with this. B'tiri ki agufnius shel Adam HaRishon konim chato haya ke'erach arufnius asher lo ata. That the physicality of Adam HaRishon before he sinned was somewhere around the level of the spirituality the spiritual, the ruchni side of a person after the sin. That other Rishon, before he sinned, his physical level of existence was on such a high, refined level that it was approximately at what our spiritual level is. And Adam Rishon's spiritual existence was that much higher than that. That just as one glimpse, the Ramchal says, we're not going to get too much, but it'll be enough just to refer to that which Chazal say, that when Adam Rishon was created, the angels wanted to come along and say Kedusha to Adam Rishon. The level, the nature of his existence was so lofty that the angels wanted to worship him. And from that we can maybe get a glimpse of what would have been had he not sinned. That then he would have climbed to those lofty heights that were prepared for him. Just like his physicality was like our spirituality, that says the Ramchal, had he not messed up, his physicality would have reached to what his spirituality was, and his ruchni side would have gone even higher. He came and divine misalami ilay ilay, because everything would have kept going up and up the way that we explained. But basically, just to put everything together, these last few pages are what we really saw last week. That basically the nature of the existence of the soul, the way the Ramchal is describing it, or not the soul, of the body. The body is an entity itself, which is, by remaining physical, is a block, is counter to the purpose of the neshama and of relating to God. And if, as long as the body remains the way it is, then it's true. The body is kind of like this. There's no room to have such a thing in Olam Haba. The reason that the body will exist in Olam Haba is because the body itself is elevated to such a level where it is able to experience some level of spiritual existence. It's entirely nullified from everything physical about it. It becomes completely sublimated to, not sublimated, that's not the word I'm looking for. It comes, what?
Sublimated. Subjugated.
Sublimated, subjugated to the neshama, and becomes an entity which, by the relationship to the neshama, is included in the relationship to God. The way we saw the Ramban use this language, that the soul will be sustained by God, and the body will be sustained by the soul, and through that you have this link in which all of them are on a level where they're able to take part in that final schar. And we discussed that how exactly the role, the body is not just a nachshepper, it's not just, you know, happens to be dragged along, but the body serves a very important role in the way in which that schar is carried out, and the ability of that process to continue to go on. The body is a very important part. The body creates the relationship in which the soul is able to bestow perfection onto something else, and the soul itself is able to grow because the body, other half of its existence, is still there with it. All right, next week we are off.